Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A jury has awarded the victims of the 2017 Charlottesville rallies millions of dollars in damages. Plus, the U.S. is releasing 50 million barrels of oil from its reserves in the coming weeks. But how much will that relieve pressure at the pump?
The administration is certainly trying to portray itself as pulling every lever it can to defend consumers. But whether those are legitimate levers, whether they can lead to actual real-world change that benefits drivers, there's a ton of uncertainty around that.
And why Taylor Swift and Jon Batiste will go head-to-head at this year's Grammy Awards. It's Tuesday, November 23rd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. A federal jury in Virginia has awarded victims of violence stemming from a 2017 Charlottesville Unite the Right rally more than $25 million and found a group of prominent white supremacist leaders liable on four counts relating to racially motivated violence. Hundreds of members of white nationalist, neo-Nazi, and militia groups attended the events. During a counter-protest, one woman was killed and dozens more injured when a white nationalist demonstrator drove his car into the crowd. The companies that own CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart pharmacies have been found liable by a federal jury in Cleveland of contributing to the opioid epidemic in two Ohio counties. Lawyers for the counties argued the pharmacies created a public nuisance by failing to stop pain pills from flooding the market or stop false prescriptions from being filled. All three companies say they will appeal the decision. The case is considered a bellwether in the thousands of lawsuits filed against pharmacy chains. The Biden administration is seeking to immediately reinstate rules that require many U.S. employers to ensure their workers are vaccinated or tested weekly for COVID-19. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration put out the requirements earlier this month, but the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans issued a preliminary stay preventing OSHA from implementing the rules. Several Republican-led states and some employers are challenging the mandate, calling it government overreach. All legal challenges are now being consolidated with the Sixth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati, where the Justice Department filed its request today. The Justice Department is also challenging a proposed tie-up in the sugar industry. In an antitrust lawsuit, the DOJ says that U.S. Sugar's proposed purchase of its rival Imperial Sugar would mean higher prices. U.S. Sugar disagrees and says it intends to litigate. The lawsuit is the fourth major deal the DOJ has challenged in recent months as part of the Biden administration pledge to combat industry consolidation. Earlier this year, the DOJ blocked a major merger in the insurance industry between Aon PLC and rival Willis Towers. And the department currently has challenges pending against a partnership between American Airlines and JetBlue and a publishing deal between Penguin Random House and Simon & Schuster. Turkey is entering a tumultuous new phase of its economic crisis. The Turkish lira slid as much as 18% today after a statement by President Erdogan in which he reiterated his belief that higher interest rates won't dampen inflation. The lira's plunge undermines confidence and makes it difficult for Turkish businesses to pay off foreign debt and pay for imported goods, pushing the country's inflation rate even higher. Samsung is planning to build a $17 billion chip-making plant in Taylor, Texas. According to people familiar with the matter, Samsung chose Texas in part because of the state's property tax incentives, as well as federal incentives aimed at boosting domestic chip production. The Senate has approved $52 billion in subsidies for new semiconductor-making factories, but the House has yet to take action. Samsung says the plant would create around 1,800 jobs, though chip production isn't expected to start until the end of 2024. And consumers are still spending on sporting goods and kitchen appliances, but they're doing more of their shopping in stores. Best Buy posted a decline in e-commerce sales during the quarter ending October 30th. Those sales nearly tripled last year. Dick's Sporting Goods also reported flat online sales last quarter after they nearly doubled last year. Coming up, why the U.S. and five other countries are releasing their oil reserves and how that could impact consumers.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Higher inflation is raising gas prices for consumers, and not only here in the U.S. Today, the U.S. and five other countries, China, India, Japan, South Korea, and the U.K., made a move to ease prices by announcing plans to tap their oil reserves. President Biden said today that the U.S. would release 50 million barrels of oil, the largest ever from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, onto world markets in the coming weeks.
Today, we're launching a major effort to moderate the price of oil, an effort that will span the globe in its reach and ultimately reach your corner gas station.
But how much will the plan impact consumers, and when? Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal energy policy reporter Tim Pucco. Hi, Tim. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So, Tim, why is the administration taking this step now to release oil reserves? What can you tell us about the timing of this decision?
Well, energy prices have been a huge concern inside this White House. The president's poll numbers have dropped a lot in recent months. You know, his approval ratings among the public is pretty low. And inflation is a huge concern. Prices for everything are rising. Gasoline, heating oil, they're at the center of that, both at seven-year highs. And so getting some sort of relief for consumers from oil markets has become a huge issue for the White House. They, for weeks, have had some of the president's top advisors looking for a solution. And after some other steps that for them didn't go as they would like, this is the next best plan that they've come up with.
So how much of an impact could this amount that's being released have on gas prices, and how soon could consumers see that relief?
So what the U.S. government doing specifically is taking 50 million barrels of U.S. reserves and putting that on the market. Not just that alone, but they're working with five other countries, including several of the other largest oil consumers in the world, for a total of something between 65 million and 70 million barrels of new oil going on the market in the weeks to come. The thing is, the world is now consuming, according to Energy Department estimates, about 100 million barrels of oil a day. And so put a one-time or a gradual output of like 65 million to 70 million barrels might not really satiate surging demand when that demand is 100 million barrels a day. That's the big question. Is this enough to persuade futures traders, commodities traders, that oil supply is strong? And we've seen today that prices have actually gone up, not down. So there's a lot of skepticism out there on Wall Street that this is going to matter in crude markets. And further, there's skepticism that even if it does, it'll trickle down to consumers.
And related to what you just said there, this comes after the Biden administration instructed the Federal Trade Commission to look into possible price gouging. This is a tactic that other presidents also from both parties have used when gas prices are high. So I'm wondering, to what extent are these actions seen as symbolic, and to what extent are they actually seen as effective at bringing inflation under control, perhaps?
Well, among the president's political opponents, for sure, they're seen as symbolic at best. And there are a lot of market analysts who think that, too, because of the disparity that I mentioned between what these countries actually have on hand to put in the markets and what consumers around the world are using every day. There is concern that there is a limited real world effect. And when it comes to the FTC investigation that you mentioned, the dynamics are similar. The administration's contention is that it's suspect that gasoline prices for retail consumers, pump prices, haven't come down in recent weeks as the surge in oil prices has tapered off a bit. But that happens a lot. You know, it typically takes weeks, if not months, for a fall in oil prices to lead to, you know, on wholesale markets, to then lead to a commensurate fall in gasoline prices in retail markets. You know, those two things are usually correlated, but at best there's a delay. And so the administration is certainly trying to portray itself as pulling every lever it can to defend consumers. But whether those are legitimate levers, whether they can lead to actual real world change that benefits drivers, there's a ton of uncertainty around that.
Let's talk about some of the geopolitics involved here. As you said, five nations have signed on to this plan, including China. What can you tell us about the cooperation between the U.S. and China on this issue? Is that significant?
Yes. The analysts who track this say that the U.S. and China have never cooperated in this way before. The U.S. has done very large coordinated releases with other countries around the world, but usually those are European countries and other members of the International Energy Agency. China has not traditionally been a U.S. partner there, but it is the world's number two consumer after only the U.S. The two of them by far are the world's largest consumers, and both of them have problems with just everyday citizens right now. Inflation is as real as China as it is in the United States. And so, you know, what our China-based reporters are telling us is that, you know, there is an emphasis from the government there in Beijing as well to take a similar tactics to fight inflation.
And this agreement also comes after OPEC has resisted calls from the White House and U.S. allies to boost oil production. I'm wondering how much that resistance from OPEC impacted this decision.
Well, OPEC still has a lot of power in this market. All the world's leading crude exporters are there. And how they increase output is certainly still one of, if not the leading influence on oil commodity markets around the world. And so when these advisors to President Biden started working over the past several weeks on energy prices and what to do about them, the first steps that they took were to reach out to allies among OPEC countries and the OPEC alliance broadly to try to get those countries to pump more. And so, you know, once they refused, once they decided to essentially stick to the plan for more measured output increases that they were already following at their meeting earlier this month, well, that left the Biden administration searching for other options. But in the background, you know, over those many weeks, people in the Biden administration, top advisors to the president, have been working diplomatic channels. Once they didn't work with OPEC, to get other allies, India, the United Kingdom, and then China on board in this type of coordinated release from stockpiles.
That's Wall Street Journal energy reporter Tim Pucco. Tim, thanks so much for your time today.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
And finally, the Grammys have come under criticism in recent years over their voting practices and the lack of diversity of nominees. Today, the Recording Academy announced this year's picks, but with some changes. They're expanding the number of nominees for top prizes from 8 to 10. Superstars such as Taylor Swift, Billie Eilish, and Olivia Rodrigo will now compete for Album of the Year against industry favorites like bandleader Jon Batiste, R&B singer-songwriter Her, and the Jazz Standards album by Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga. Instead of special review committees, the nominations process is entirely up to more than 11,000 voters that include industry artists, producers, and engineers. Our pop music reporter, Neil Shaw, says the Academy is trying to stay relevant.
The Grammys have always been a lightning rod for controversy since they started. People love to debate music. But in this past era, there's been a lot of concern that the Grammys weren't representing women more in the top nominations, and then indeed among the winners. There was concern about representation of Black musicians, from Kanye West famously to most recently The Weeknd, have just complained about what seemed to be egregious snubs. Most recently last year, The Weeknd, the R&B and pop star, made what was universally considered one of the biggest selling blockbusters, and not only that, one of the most critically acclaimed blockbusters of the year. It's one thing not to get an Album of the Year nomination or Record of the Year nomination. It's another to get zero nominations. So that spoke to a kind of out-of-touchness that has persisted, a concern about being out of step with popular culture. The Grammys, with some of these changes, are trying to address those little bit by little bit.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.